Actually, we have a special guest. My cat is right here next to the computer. He's a libertarian, though. So
that's cool. Sure.
He's going to the Ron Paul convention.
I'm always afraid that I'll get an animal and it'll just totally be a liberal and the opposite of what I am. And, you know, we'll have to coexist. It'll be horrible.
Well, I think cats just basically, if you have a cat, that's definitely what they do. They're just going to be the opposite of whatever you are, just because that's the way cats are.
Yeah, I think cats might be sort of automatically libertarian just by their personality style.
That's right, although they are beneficiaries of the nanny state.
That's true.
Most pets are, really. But speaking of animals, actually perfect segue, or at least a segue, to talking about Sarah Palin. Huntress.
Absolutely.
Massive Huntress. Diana.
Yeah,
Princess of the Forest.
A picture of her in the New York Times where she's sitting on a couch and she has, like, this killed grizzly bear, like, draped over it. I think her dad actually killed it.
I know. I mean, I guess we've already gotten into trouble with one vice president who hunts, you know? So, like, I don't know what to expect with Sarah Palin, but I guess you're less likely to shoot someone else in the face when you're hunting grizzlies, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not. But it's nice to know she can protect herself. And it's also nice to know her pro-life, you know, policy doesn't extend towards grizzlies or caribou.
That's right. She is amazing, though. I mean, seriously, you know, she's a mother of five, a hunter, a fisherman. She's a beauty pageant winner. She's an athlete, a star basketball player.
She was, in fact, Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, and most people who are, it seems to me, most people who get that far in politics are solely devoted to politics, that mm-hmm. they don't really have any other, you know, kind of extracurricular activities except for maybe golfing or shooting people in the face, so.
Right. Or basketball, come on.
Yeah.
She could go one-on-one with Barack, I think, for basketball. I mean, I don't think that it would be good to have, like, that replace the debates or anything, but I would like to see that game be played.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the other interesting thing is just, let's face it, she's hot. And I think, you know, she's going to attract, there's a certain female vote element, but as I wrote on townhall.com yesterday, I think there's also a male vote, you know, importance there too.
Just for the hotness? Are you really, I guess, you know, I was always insulted, like, remember when they, maybe, actually, you're like a child, right? So maybe you don't remember when Quayle was nominated, and they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to get the female vote because he's a hottie.
Yeah.
And that was really insulting. But I guess men really are that shallow, so.
I think they might be. But I do. I remember the 88 convention, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't there, but I certainly wasn't, you know. Who's the guy, the movie star who kind of had that little...
Rob Loeb, and that was at the Democratic convention.
I know I wasn't in his position in 88, but I was, you know, but I do remember it. And, you know, but I think the Bush, you know, comparing it to 88, I mean, first of all, I think they completely dropped it at the convention, whereas with Palin, it's a couple days leading into the convention. And I think, you know, even though Palin was not on the short list, her name had at least been, you know, bandied about. Whereas I seem to remember Quayle just being completely out of the blue at the time, so...
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she did come up, but mostly it's a blue sky pick, you know,
yeah.
As it were, out of the blue. I mean, like, I think that there were a lot of conservatives that were pushing for her as sort of a change slash mavericky choice, but not as mavericky as Lieberman, who I think, by the way, you know, this has been said before, but I do think that if runmates didn't matter, I do think that he would have chosen Lieberman. I think that he really wanted to, I think it's clear, I mean, I'd love to get your perspective on this, but I think it's clear that this choice shows that there is a little bit of the old man left, and you know, like, I mean, he really wanted to make a choice that said something about who he was.
I mean, I am just ecstatic, and, you know, like, yesterday at townhall.com, I'm not joking here, it had the feel of, like, you know, at Christmas time when, like, there's sort of people are walking on, you know, Aaron, even your boss is kind of nice to you, even though he's normally not. I mean, just, like, everything just sort of seemed to have this sort of magical, like, you know, feeling to it, and people are just ecstatic. And, yeah, I mean, this is, like, the old John McCain who's... And let me tell you know, a month ago, people were afraid this was going to be Bob Dole Part 2, that he was going to be. And I really think this shows just, you know, boldness, excitement, and man, I give him kudos for making that pick.
I would agree with you on that, but here's my issue as someone who doesn't agree with Sarah Palin on a lot of stuff, which is that I don't agree with her on a lot of stuff. I mean, I to be quite frank, one of the things, as sort of, you know, a moderate Democrat myself, one of the things I've always liked about McCain is that he bucks the party on a lot of different issues, including, oh, let's just point out global warming. And as you know, I mean, one of the things I think that soothed a lot of people who were worried about John McCain and picking Sarah Palin is like that specific issue where she said she doesn't believe that global warming is man-made.
Yeah, I mean, and the other issue, I mean, they obviously have a difference on ANWR, and that's interesting because she represents Alaska. So there definitely will be, and I will say this, I mean, look, as I do think this represents McCain making a maverick pick. She has stood up. She's a reformer. She stood up to the good old boys in Alaska. It was an exciting pick. But I also think that, you know, let's be honest. I mean, McCain could have made an exciting pick with Lieberman. But I like to believe the bloggers that are sort of complaining and threatening, you know, had something to do with him picking her. I mean, in some small way. I tried to send a message and at townhall.com that, like, if McCain picked, you know, a pro-choicer, that all heck would break loose and that there would be problems. So, you know, while I still think this was a courageous, bold pick, I would at least like to hope that, you know, maybe conservative bloggers had something to do with putting pressure on McCain to do the right thing.
Now, here's where I'm going to jump in and say, like, I don't want our next president, conservative or liberal, to be listening to bloggers. You know, like, how would you, like, wouldn't you be scared if Obama was like, you know what, those kids at Daily Coast have a point? I mean,
well, I mean, here's the thing, though. You know, I totally understand where you're coming from, without a doubt. But, you know, I think that I would almost rather have him listening to bloggers than the mainstream so-called establishment media, for one thing. And
do you think
that
goes for Democrats, too? Would you rather have Obama be listening to, like, Josh Marshall on Talking Points Memo in Daily Coast rather than like ABC?
Of course not.
Okay.
I have a double
just
standard.
Just asking.
I mean, admittedly, I have a double standard. There's no doubt about that. But look, blogging is sort of a derisive term in some ways. But, you know, it's been said before, and I think it's true, you know, that the founding fathers would be blogging if they were around today. I'm not comparing myself or anybody down all
of them,
the founding fathers. But my point is, you know, if you're in the conservative movement, you obviously want to help nudge your candidate to do the right thing. Because candidates are under pressure from all directions. It's not like we're the only people exerting pressure. And if we weren't out there, he would probably, you know, be under pressure from other people, the mainstream media, to pick Ridge or Lieberman. So at the very least, we're just sort of a balance, you know, helping fair and balanced, I would say.
So your argument is that the conservative blogosphere helped nudge McCain to choose Palin.
I have no, you know, I have no proof of that, but I would like to believe that we did.
So do you think, like, actually one thing I've been hearing on the left this morning, like kind of surfing around, is that Palin is Harriet Myers part two. Obviously better
close.
Looking. Better looking than Harriet. If Harriet Myers looked like Sarah Palin, I bet she'd be sitting on the Supreme Court today.
You know, but you may be right.
But if
she was as conservative, if she had a conservative record like Palin, I think she would be too.
Yeah, okay, see, that's the thing. Is like, I guess I see the analogy as being like she's inexperienced and she's people thought that Harriet Myers was a sop to the base. I mean, I think people in the mainstream media and sort of like, you know, people who don't follow conservative politics very closely, when Harriet Meyer was chosen, that looked like a safe conservative pick.
Yeah,
right?
But man, anybody who says that, I think it sort of betrays a misunderstanding of the conservative movement. Because, I mean, I, for example, I was writing at Human Events online at the time, and I was vehemently opposed to Harriet Myers, and most real conservatives opposed Harriet Myers. There were a couple of notable exceptions to that, but the vast majority of conservative bloggers were, you know, bitterly opposed to Harriet Myers. And actually, I would use that as an argument for how the conservative blogosphere has impacted. You know, everybody sort of says that the net roots have done are more powerful than the right roots. But I would use stopping Harriet Myers as one long-term example of how we've maybe helped America be a little bit better.
Helped America. Yes, I think you are probably helped America. I'm gonna even forgive the fact that you used impact as a verb.
My grammar is really bad, unless I have a typewriter, and then it's moderately better. But
no, a lot of really good people use impact as a verb. I just personally am against it. It's sort of the way I feel about a lot of politics. A lot of good people I disagree with.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, so, you know, I said at the beginning, like, I've sort of been I have found McCain's mavericky, you know, ness, as much as I get made fun of sometimes, to be the most appealing thing about him. And to be quite frank with you, although you sound like a perfectly nice guy, and I'm sure that we'd have fun, like, having drinks together, the fact that you're so excited about Sarah Palin, like, really concerns me. And
well,
we should have
drinks together.
Okay, we will. But tell me why, like, why I, as like someone who at one point thought I could be persuaded to vote for John McCain, shouldn't be like running for my life to the Obama ballot box now.
Well, you know, I think first of all, it's a gutsy pick. I mean, all the smart consultants and the so-called people who, you know politics, I can almost guarantee you that they'd be advising against picking Sarah Palin. They're going to tell you to pick Mitt Romney or Pawlenty. So just in, you know, putting ideology aside, just in terms of, you know, sort of taking a risk and political courage, I think it was a great pick. I mean, look, here's the other thing, it's history. I mean, regardless of the motives behind the pick, and I have no doubt that there were strategic reasons for picking her, obviously, but we're going to have either the first African-American president or the first female vice president, and there's essentially no way of getting around that. I think that is exciting.
I think that's exciting, too. I mean, and in fact, actually, I gave myself permission yesterday for like 4 or 5 hours to not be cynical and just like appreciate the fact that there's a really serious female candidate again.
Yeah.
And I'm also like, I'm reminded, like, good conservative friends of mine when Obama sealed the nomination had the same kind of reaction. You know, I'm just going to, putting ideology aside, this is a great moment for America. But here's the thing, is that, like, I guess it does concern me that she doesn't believe that, you know, global warming is happening, and that she doesn't, you know, and that she believes that we should teach creationism, and that the pro-life stuff actually doesn't bother me that much. I think that's a sort of reasonable people can disagree kind of area. But, you know, those things concern me, and she is inexperienced. She's not ready to, like, to be president, I don't think.
Well, I think she's actually more experienced than Barack Obama, though. That's the interesting thing. And he's running for president, not vice president, so...
I would say technically if it were like the 2-year senator versus the 2-year governor, you know, I'm not sure. I think you have to like say that's a pretty even split, don't you? Like, but they're not. And but you're right. They're running for different offices.
Yeah. And she actually has executive experience. In fact, she's the only person running for president or vice president who has any executive experience, having been a mayor and of a small town, albeit, and having, a very small town, and having been governor. So, you know, look, you know, the experience thing, I think experience is important. You know, there's no doubt that I think John McCain, you know, has a tremendous amount of experience. So does Joe Biden. But historically, we've had presidents like Reagan and Clinton, and Abraham Lincoln was... you know, some very, very minimal, you know, military experience. I think he was a one-term congressman. Certainly I'm not comparing her to Abraham Lincoln. But experience is important. As Obama says, judgment is important. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is many factors contribute to it. But I'm not worried about her experience. I think it's at least as good as Obama's.
Now, is there anything that worries you about her at all? Anything? Or do you think if McCain, like, dropped dead on the first day of office, like, it would be cool to have her as president? And I don't say that. I say that with love for John McCain, and I hope that nothing happens to him, and that he lives for, as Charlie Black said in the New York Times today, at least 4 more years. Most
well,
doctors
I mean, his
agree.
Mom, his mom's like, you know,
most doctors agree he'll live for
130
years
old, so right. It's entirely possible.
Right.
But I'd say I have to be, you know, completely honest with you. I think the Palin pick is, in my estimation, a home run. I love it on so many levels. I love it for her conservative philosophy. I love it for the image. I love it, you know, strategically. I think it fits. I think the way they rolled it out was just brilliant. I mean, I you know, a couple months ago, John McCain was, you know, we were not that excited about him, and I'm getting ready to get, you know, to head to Minneapolis. And, you know, it's going to be a much more fun flight there, I can guarantee you, with Sarah Palin as our running mate, as opposed to, you know,
Joe
Lieberman.
Do you think, like, you might actually be able to fill a stadium now?
I think it's going to be very, very exciting. I think, you know, people are going to be blown away, and I think it was a home run. Granted, I mean, you never know how these things are going to play out. It could be that she's an axe murderer, and we're going to find
you know,
out later.
There wasn't a lot of vetting, I understand. So it's entirely possible. I mean, isn't that true? Actually, so here's another question for you. I mean, the reporting right now is that he only met with her once before he decided to go with her. Now, do you think that's a cause for concern?
It's interesting. I mean, I think clearly, you know, again, historically, what Harry Truman had coffee with FDR once or something like that. So, I mean, it's not unprecedented, but, you know, it's certainly not what you kind of expect or anticipate. I will say this, though. McCain's the kind of person that, like, cannot hide. He can't fake things. He's not good at pretending.
No, and he's not, which is one of the reasons why he's been a bad candidate so far.
The pictures yesterday of him, there's this one picture that's on the front page of the Washington Post. It's her, like, holding her fist up. You know, and it's a very iconic picture. And in the background, you can see McCain just glowing.
Yeah.
And so there is a chemistry between them. And the pictures of them together, you know, I wonder if it had been Mitt Romney, whom I also like Mitt Romney, but, you know, I don't know if McCain could have hidden
I don't think he could have hidden it. I think they would have had to campaign entirely separately.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, I covered McCain during the primaries, and his distaste for Mitt Romney is pretty palpable.
Yeah, they all kind of hated him, didn't they?
That was, I don't think Mitt Romney hates him nearly as much as he hates Mitt Romney. I think it's like one of those just like, you're right, he can't hide things. He could never, like, he, I think, appreciated what a great attack dog Romney was for him after the primaries were over. But I think he still held on to this, like, visceral, you know, distrust and dislike.
And
but,
I think that's also the other, not to get too far ahead of us, but just, to, you know, depending on how things play out this year with Palin and McCain, the Huckabee-Romney rivalry, those guys hate each other.
Yeah, they do.
I see them colliding in 2012, potentially, or 2016, depending on how things shake out. I mean, this is like Ali Frazier, you know?
I'm actually ready. I am totally beside the point in a way, but, like, I spent most of this past week, like, pursuing this really kind of maybe stupid story about, like, if the two campaigns were basketball teams, what basketball teams would they be?
And Celtics Lakers, right?
Well, actually, let's see. The Obama team, I still haven't gotten a good answer yet, but I did wind up talking to Charles Barkley about it, and he said the Celtics, and then the last year's Celtics, and then I volunteered for McCain, the Pistons, the bad boy era Pistons, or like the white guy Princeton offense.
Mm-hmm.
But Barkley thought it would be the Pistons, but because the only way they can win dirty is what he said. But in talking to Barkley, and also I interviewed Reggie Love, Obama's body guy, who used to play basketball at Duke, and now I'm ready for, like, the Barkley-Love ticket. I think that would be awesome. And
that
he could go against Palin.
Yeah, that guy, you know, there's, like, every once in a few people, like, random people, like, let's say, like, Lynn Nofziger is someone that I actually got to know very well, and I remember reading, I think it might have been Peggy Noonan, said that, like, if there was someone she could have gotten to know, it would have been him. Like, Reggie Love seems like the kind of guy, I mean, he's not, you know, running for president, but he just seems like one of the really cool guys that I'd love to just have a beer with.
Yeah, no, I think he is, like, he could be a politician. Like, he's really good. Like, he's just a really cool guy. And how many people do you think said that about Obama when he was, like, when they first met him? I think that's how it starts.
I want a body man myself, or a hand, you know, I just think, you know, and a lot of times candidates, you know, they resent having handlers follow them around, and they hate it, they try to shake their handlers. I would love to have, you know, somebody there, you know, hey, you got something on your shirt. I mean, I feel like I almost
well, I think,
necessitate I think, that sort of.
This is maybe a good note to end on. I think one thing that Obama and McCain have in common, actually, in this, is that the people that they surround themselves with, they really need to genuinely like. And have good rapport with. And I think if you look at the two body guys, you see that with both of them. Like, I think Barack Obama and Reggie Love have, like, a genuinely good friendship, and they like each other a lot. And I bet it doesn't feel like he's his body guy.
Yeah.
I don't think Obama would probably be comfortable with that. And I know McCain's body guy is actually a multimillionaire venture capitalist.
Wow.
Who's basically taken the year off to, like, follow McCain around. His name is Greg Wendt.
If a fight were to break out and things got ugly, though, could he step in like Reggie Love?
He could totally. He's in good shape. I saw him get up in the morning and jog like every day, which I think is more than most McCain aides did. So.
Yeah, it's not the Bush campaign, is it? You know, you don't have to be a jogger to get on the Straight Talk Express. You do have to eat like hot dogs and donuts and stuff.
But you have to walk really fast.
Yes, he does walk fast.
He does walk fast. Anyway, any concluding thoughts? Like, I guess I'll see you in St. Paul.
See you in St. Paul.
What's going to be the big party? What's the party I should try to crash?
Oh, geez. Well, there's the one campaign is having a party. CCM, the Coalition for Conservative Majority, is having Smash Mouth.
Wow.
So Nashville. That's cool.
Maybe John McCain can get permission to play one of their songs at a rally, since he's having trouble with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, if you're a Republican, it's kind of hard to get songs. You can't play, like, Bruce Springsteen, you know. But apparently Smash Mouth is cool with it. And I hear Jacob Dylan wouldn't come to Minneapolis, too, so... I have a guitar, actually, back here. I could do a couple ditties. Maybe we'll do that the next blogging head.
Okay.
So you're going right, to be in Minneapolis?
Good to virtually meet you.
It was great to meet you online, too.
All right. I'll see you in Minneapolis.
All right. Thanks.